Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we got in it. Might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, in our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss the cream the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
All right, welcome to a mid-season Mountain West Connection show. As always, MWCConnection.com, Facebook, Mountain West Connection, Twitter, MWC Connection. Chris Andres is there. We are not. I don't know. But this is Jeremy speaking. But are you in a suit and tie? Because I'm definitely not.
I am not in a suit and tie.
Good. I'm wearing a Captain America T-shirt. Does that count as something cool?
No.
No. Oh. Okay.
We should have.
Yeah. We don't have time. We're busy.
Although I really wanted, although, you know, next time we do a video post, I might have to be in a new T-shirt that I'm about ready to buy here, which is way off topic. Did you see what Oregon's wearing as their uniforms?
Yes, one you showed me, the Donald Duck uniform.
Mm-hmm. 20 years old, the pick.
The pick ever.
I will tell you, there is nothing better than me as a six-year-old kid watching the pick on TV and listening to it on the radio. You know the famous call?
I do.
That, listening to that live as a six-year-old, just imagine that. And that was me.
Excellent. That
you want to know how college football fandom starts? It starts when there's no other sports to follow and you get into college football.
I got some other news. I am denied going to BYU versus Nevada. I got my email about 2 seconds ago.
Oh, that sucks.
Sorry not to get, even though I know the guy personally, sorry to not get back to you sooner. We won't be able to provide you credential access for SB Nation. However, blah, 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 pre and post game notes, blah, 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 will be available. Twitter. Okay, thanks, Brett. Excellent. Oh, well. So I'm not going to Nevada versus BYU, even though I figured, hey, I know the guy. I've been there before. I'm not a rebel, but okay, let's get going here. We have a few news and notes. Sorry to disrupt your flashback to the good old, well, I was going to say good old days to Oregon, but they're pretty good right now for the Ducks.
They're pretty good. They were not good when I was there. Although the 1 year when Rich Brooks took them to the Rose Bowl, I mean, before then, Rich Brooks took them to the 1989 Independence Bowl, and then from there, they really started getting good. But a lot of Oregon fans will tell you it was that game versus Washington, the pick, that really changed the history of Oregon, which is why they are where they are now.
That's helpful.
Not with Nike.
Yeah, and Phil Knight, that helps a little bit too. That's some cool stuff. So we got a few news and notes because we record our preview show pretty early in the week. Apparently Steven Lakalaka, running back for Hawaii, should be able to play, which helps since Joey ESF is suspended for 3 games for that arrested for a DUI. And they play San Diego State this weekend. And did you check my Twitter handle about an hour ago?
No.
Do you hear what Rocky Long has said about the Hawaii front seven of the defense?
That they don't play like warriors?
Oh, no. This is the best front seven we've played all year, on par with Oregon State.
Really?
Cue the laugh track.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but...
I mean, no, it's not. It's a great compliment to Hawaii, but...
No, he also said best in the league as well.
That's because he hasn't played Utah State yet?
Utah State.
Or Boise State?
Boise State's pretty good, front seven. So that I thought that was kind of humorous a little bit. And then the other news, I'm going to – can I change my pick to Nevada to an outright victory now?
Maybe.
Not because of the email I just received. Well, because Jamal Williams, their running back, is still not sure if he's going to play. But they, BYU lost another running back, Adam Hine, for the rest of the year with an ankle injury. So they're down to – their starting running back is an All-American rugby player.
BYU might not make a bowl this year.
Yeah, who knows? We'll talk about BYU later. They play UNLV. They play Boise State. We'll see. But if they're down to a rugby player, they're starting running back, and they're at a backup quarterback, they may have to move. This guy, Mike Elise, is a linebacker. He used to play running back, maybe switch him over. But they have so many injuries, I'm switching to Nevada. Outright.
Fair enough. You're the one who's fixing up the base tonight.
Oh, crap. We got to do that, too. That's right. It's Thursday. Okay. We'll work on that. Okay, but let's get to our – here's what the show is about, midseason. We sent some questions out to our writers, and also we put it on the website, handful of questions. Before we get to those, let's make this quick. What's your biggest surprise of the league this year?
We didn't ask this?
We did not ask this. I'm asking you now.
I would say that my biggest surprise is – I'll say my biggest surprise is Air Force.
It's a good surprise. They are what they
Air Force being pretty damn good. That's a big surprise to me.
4-2. I am surprised there's no dominant team. Because there's always been Colorado. Maybe we'll know if Colorado State can beat Utah State. I know Boise fans will hate me for saying it, but if you're 6-1, you're pretty good. But there's at this point in the year, there's always been a team ranked, and there's nobody ranked. That's why I kind of think it is. There's no one team that's. There's some good teams, Utah State, Boise State, Colorado State, but no really good team.
So here's my thing, though. And people say, oh, Boise State's good, they're not great, or anything like that. Look at, okay, Air Force 4-2, that was definitely a fluke loss. I'm fairly confident of that.
Yes, I would agree. Now, Air Force played great. They played out of their minds. So it's an aberration, I think, despite them still playing well in that one game.
But Boise State got dominated by what we see right now is the number three team in the country. And they only got dominated in the fourth quarter. They had a chance to win that game.
That's correct. The first three quarters versus Bo Wallace and Ole Miss there, they had their chances. They just, fourth quarters, defensive backs couldn't hold up. And they were right there for 44 minutes or so?
Yeah. So I think you're right. I think there is no dominant team. But I think there are some very good teams.
Yeah.
Those very good teams are just...
all in the Mountain Division.
Yeah.
And one other thing I want to mention about... it's always funny. Since Nevada's kind of stumbled a little bit and they play BYU this weekend, partly I'm bringing this up because I live in Utah, but we know... I know Matt kind of called me out. I've said Nevada's defense. I think I said they can make plays. But they're, 120th in pass defense? Some guy in the radio goes, oh, Nevada has a pretty good defense. It's like 105th in total yards allowed.
Never mind.
I just find that hilarious when it happens. But Nevada,
I think that's due to the last two games, but,
But still. Well, and then we see the other end. San Jose State was with 88 yards per game given up in the air. That's crazy. But Nevada, Nevada's kind of a surprise. I'd say Nevada's a little bit of a surprise, too. They've got no defense to score some points. And what would you say? Was there any negative surprise? Because we both went positive. I kind of did. I don't know. I kind of went in between. Fresno State, there we go.
Is that really a surprise, though?
How bad they lost those three games? Yeah, I think it kind of is. Giving up 50-plus points in three games, losing by, I think, one average of about 30 per game. Pretty bad. Pretty, pretty bad. All right, let's get to the actual questions here. So our first question, we posted these on the website, so we'll kind of give a both for a fan, a reader question answer, and then our staff question answer. So we put midseason offensive player of the year. Since me and Chris don't prepare before the show more than 5 minutes, as you can probably tell, because we're just so good at winging it, right?
See, here's the problem. We'd be even better if you just kind of, like, don't oversee things.
I agree that. I agree as well. I like to chat too much. So, who did you pick? We'll go order. Midseason, offensive player of the year. Let's go with our vote, and then we'll kind of go through everything else real quick.
All right. Well, believe it or not, I voted Rashard Higgins.
So did I. And so did everybody else on our reader ballot. 206 votes, 26%. It's part of it is the past couple of games. He has 10 total touchdowns to lead the Mountain West in receiving. He leads it in yards per game, and he's only second in receptions to Josh Harper. So he's really good. And then as for our staff, it was actually
all over the place.
Three ways.
So we had 15. We had 15 responses.
Yes. Well, 14 responses.
14 responses.
D. Hart, Rashard Higgins, J. A. Jaye all received 5 votes.
They were all tied.
So we will give it to the.
They could not have all received 5 votes if you said 14 people.
Oh wait.
They all received 3 votes.
No, 4 votes, right?
3.
Three. Oh, sorry, because Garrett Grayson got a vote in there, so did Hunter Sharp. Yeah, sorry.
Garrett Grayson got 2. Donnell Pumphrey got 2.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's – we'll go with overall. We'll go with what the – since the tie goes to the readers, we'll go with Rashard Higgins.
The tie goes to the readers, yeah.
And it's not hard to say. D. Hart, I'm a little surprised by that because he has had 2 pretty bad games, the Boise State and UC Davis game. Jaye, I still think he could be player of the year because if Boise wins the league, still a good chance. He's so good at receiving the ball as well as rushing out of the backfield. But it wasn't even that close. Like, I guess it was 26% to 22% in our reader ballot, but it's Rashard Higgins. He's Colorado State.
I think it's anybody who's been watching the Mountain West this year, which I would say is the majority of our readership.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Right? We're just stopping by.
I mean, you could easily say, oh, this site is dominated by Boise State fans, or this site is dominated by, you know, San Diego State fans. No. The votes clearly show that people, even if they are fans, they're very knowledgeable. Rashard Higgins has had a phenomenal season and is easily deserving of Player of the Year award right now.
Yeah, and even in the reader ballot, D. Hart was last place in 6% of the votes. Yep. And I look for traffic. Sometimes there's a spike because somebody, some other website or some message board or kind of picks it up. I didn't see anything from, like, the Ram Nation or Utah State message board that sometimes pick up our stuff, a lot of traffic. And I saw a little bit here and there, but nothing out of the ordinary to say, looking at the results, nothing came through to say all these New Mexico fans came to vote for one guy or overwhelming Colorado State to vote for these guys. We had 206 votes. That's good. But if there's a rush, I've seen thousands. We've seen polls get hijacked where there's thousands of votes. So
thanks, Utah State fans.
Well, that
remember that from last year?
Yeah. That's why I kind of went this route. But okay, next one up. No surprise. I'm surprised D. Hart was last in the reader vote. That's kind of surprising to me, behind Garrett Grayson. And Donald Pumphrey, he's good too. So defensive player of the year. My initial thought, it's going to be the readers went this route. Well, let's get the nominees first. Nick Vigil, Utah State linebacker. Zach Vigil, same thing. Brothers, or excuse me, it's the guy who emailed me. It's not Vigil. I wanted to say it's Vigil. And there's actually a G in there, so I'm going to point that out now. Thanks for the email.
You know what we need to look? We need to look at the media guide.
I did.
It's are we not, saying it right?
It's Vigil. Now, I was saying Vigil, like a candle at Vigil. It's Vigil. Yeah, but the guy who emailed me said, like, V-hole. Like, the G's kind of silent. Or, like, that hard G, like the Euro. No, there's a G sound. It's Vigil.
Vigil.
So, and then Dante Dion, Boise State. Darian Thompson, Boise State. Dakota Cox, New Mexico linebacker, because he has a million tackles. And then Frankie Sutra, Utah State, he got no votes. I'm surprised by that. No votes.
He got 1 vote in the reader.
No, he got 0%.
No. Sorry, in the author.
Yeah, but doesn't he have, like, I think 4 interceptions?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 4 interceptions. I'm surprised. Maybe people that don't know his name. But the reader ballot, I am surprised. Well, I'm not surprised. I wonder if they took him to the offensive effort. But Nick Vigil, 29% of the votes. However, it was overwhelming. Well, not overwhelming, but Zach Vigil won for the authorship voting, and that's the right call. And that's well, I don't want to say people are wrong, but if you go by the actual kind of sheer numbers, Zach leads the league in tackles for loss with 10. Nick has only 6 and a half, but it's sacks where he comes out on top, where it kind of makes the difference there, I'm thinking.
So who'd you vote for?
I vote for Zach. Cause Nick Vigil has 0 sacks, and Zach has 2 now, so I went with Zach Vigil.
Yeah, I voted for Zach as well.
Just because I knew the offense probably would take it apart a little bit, but I went by more production, and Nick has no sacks, and Zach leads the league in tackles for loss and has a couple sacks. And he has a lot more tackles, so. I'm sorry, no Brock Hekking, but he's more of a – he's not – I think they're more running away from him than going after him, so his stats aren't really there. Yeah. And I'm glad Dakota Cox from New Mexico, since he's a tackling machine, he got a decent amount of votes. That's good.
Excellent. So once again, our readers are actually actively following the games.
I would say so. You can't go wrong with Nick Vigil, but I thought Zach overall just could more of the big plays on defense.
No, but what I'm saying is the Dakota
Cox. Oh, yes.
I mean, 13% of the votes. Dante Dion. Most people need to realize when Dante Dion is not on the field for Boise State, that's when they give up their huge plays.
Yeah, their secondary, when they're all together, it's good, but they've been mixed and matching, whether it be injury or the Jeremy Iona not playing for various reasons. All right, so now we've got a midseason quarterback of the year. There's not many good quarterbacks in the Mountain West, in my opinion.
No, it's like the anti-last year of the Mountain West.
Yeah, Garrett Grayson, overwhelming vote for... Okay, first off, I did not add Daryl Gerritsen, and our Utah State guy, Ben Phillips, pointed that out to me, but I figured he misses 2.5 games... out of about 6 or 7, hard to include him on there.
Was he the sole Daryl Gerritsen vote for the authors?
Yes, because I had an other column you could type in. Another, right. And I'm pretty sure Ben did that. There's nothing wrong with the vote. And per game, he pointed out to me, I agree he's probably playing the best. But if he missed one, if he came in for after the Tennessee game for Utah State, I would have put him on there. But 2.5 games, it's hard to do that, I think.
I think so as well.
And it was overwhelming, Garrett Grayson, Cody Fajardo, Grant Hedrick, then I did put Brian Burrell on there. He has a positive ratio from quarter, or if I could speak this evening, touchdowns to interceptions. So, gotta stick him on there, right?
So, who did you vote for?
I voted for Garrett Grayson. Logical choice.
Ah, as did I.
I think Fajardo would be close, but if I would have picked, even if I had an option of picking Gerritsen, I would probably have gone to Grayson for midseason because he's played the whole year.
Yeah, I see that.
But he will be on for end of the year, assuming nothing drastic happens. Next, as I know we're flying, people are surprised. This show is going to be maybe 35 minutes.
Yeah, well, you know why? Because we're not talking about our suits and ties.
Of course, yeah, we're not discussing how great we look in our tuxedos.
We're good to see it. Good, just suits and ties. That's all the posse we need.
Naturally. Midseason running back of the year. We had Jay Jai, D. Hart, Donald Pumphrey, Sean Wick, Jacoby Owens from Air Force.
Funny enough, the Mountain West, very strong running league this year.
Yeah. Who did you vote for?
I voted for Jai.
So did I. Mainly because he's out of the backfield. He dominates. He's very good catching the ball. I'm not sure he's averaging per game, but he had, what, that Colorado State game with, what, 60 or 70 yards in addition to over 200 on the ground.
Here's what I see in Ajayi, and I don't quite see it in Pumphrey, and maybe that's just because he doesn't have a quarterback to throw the ball to him, or D. Hart rather, because D. Hart is just so smash mouth. Jay Ajayi, out of all these running backs that we've talked about, is the most versatile. You see, he has the most receptions and the most yards. He has
31 tons
of all-purpose yards.
Yeah, he is. In the receiving category, he's 9th in the league in receptions. He has, outside of Shane Williams Rhodes, he's 2nd on the team for Boise State.
Wait, he's 9th in the league in receptions?
Yeah, with 31. 5.5 a game, man.
Oh, my goodness.
That's more than JoJo Natson, more than Hashawn Henderson.
It's more than Josh Harper. I mean,
no.
No, it's not.
Almost. Harper gets only 6, gets 6.7. Yeah, that's one reason I voted for him. And the let's mix up a little. Let's go to the vote for the staff. Donald Pumphrey won for the staff vote, and that's before people say, "Oh, you got all the Aztec guys voting." It's not a bad vote to go with Pumphrey.
No, absolutely not.
He leads the league in touchdowns and yards per game and, as I pulled up, I believe total rushing yards as well.
Yeah, he's a very – statistically, he's a very good running back, and he easily it comes back to this. What does your running back do? Humphrey just runs. Yeah, and it also helps that, you know, he has a 200-yard game versus New Mexico.
Yeah, well, 11 touchdowns. He's averaging 134 a game. So he's even dominating J.H.I. by almost 20 yards, three more touchdowns, averages almost 7 yards a touch. You can't go wrong. I went to J.H.I. because of versatility.
And that's me, too. I mean, part of that is Homer. But when I came down to it, I looked at either J.H.I. or Donnell Humphrey. And I was very, very close to voting for Donnell Pumphrey.
Yeah, I was looking at
it. To me, it really just came down to the fact that Pumphrey is he's a thinner back. He's not used, you know, whereas Ajayi is primarily used not only as a running back, but as a very strong second option in receiving.
And these,
you know,
and
they, Pumphrey, you. Unless you're doing a quick wheel route or a quick screen, you're not relying on Pumphrey to, you know, really grab a pass and then just sprint down the field.
Yeah, he has 11 receptions, 5 versus North Carolina, and these all outside of the Northern Arizona one, they're all short passes. But J.H.I.'s aren't always, oh, nobody's open, let Grant Hedrick throw him the ball. Sometimes they are, but some of them, they're designed passes straight to him out of the backfield. And,
yeah, and it seems like every single time that Ajayi catches the ball, he's hardly stopped in the backfield, mm-hmm. and in fact, he almost gets a first down. What's his yards per reception? He's got 31 receptions.
I'm in the rushing department. Just a moment. Pretty good.
You're in the rushing department.
Rushing. I was looking at the rushing yards. Sorry, not rushing. Not rushing. Rushing. Let me see it. Rushing. You're correct. 9 yards a touch receiving the ball.
I mean, that's
for a running back?
Slot receiver. That's slot receiver statistics right there.
It does stick him about right there with Tyler Winston and Marcus Sullivan, which is, if you're a wide receiver, it's not too bad. It's okay, but yeah, it's a possession receiver guy, over the middle guy, bubble screen guy. Look at Shane Williams-Rhodes. What do you think his average per reception is?
Oh, it's got to be – I'm going to go ahead and say – because here's the thing about Williams-Rhodes. He either has a tackle for a loss or he's going to be down 20, 30 yards because of his speed. I'm going to say he averages probably 15 yards a reception.
7.3.
Really? That's it?
Yeah.
So Jai is more than that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would have thought it had been higher, but that's a good comparison because they do a lot of those bubble screens, those quick underneath throws where he catches it far side and goes horizontal across the field, then cuts up with all the line of blockers going downfield. That's a good comparison. And then we didn't mention the readers. They went with J.H.I.E. as well. And went J.H.I.E., DeHart, Donald Pumphrey, distant third. J.H.I.E., he got 40% of the votes. It's quite a bit. And that was one of our 203 ballots. So outside of player of the year, that was this next to most votes we had for a category.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds fantastic.
Let's go to wide receiver of the year. Rashard Higgins, Hunter Sharp, Utah State, Josh Harper, Fresno, and I added Garrett Brown for Air Force, which seems odd, but he's a touchdown machine, so I had to figure that in. And it's got to count for something.
It's good. Unfortunately, within our readership or within our authors, it didn't count for a lot as he did not receive any votes.
He did not. And I did not vote for him.
And in fact, nobody else received any votes. But Harper, I voted for Rashard Higgins.
Same here.
Rashard Higgins came second.
Third.
Third. Because Josh Harper and Hunter Sharp are tied for first.
That, it's just odd. Does that mean we should have included Harper and Sharp for Player of the Year? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think, and me personally, what I think is that this may have been, I don't know, because the way it's time-stamped, I don't know who voted for who and everything like that. This may have been a Mountain versus West type readership.
But nobody can see the ballots but me, like the results.
Okay, so if you're looking at the results, is it evenly split between who's voting for Harper, Sharp, and Higgins, or is it like unevenly balanced on one side or not?
Like when the votes came in?
When the votes came in and who voted for who.
I don't know who voted for who.
Well, that's what I meant.
Oh, sorry. I just have the timestamp. Sorry. I didn't. I should have included who. No, but here's how it went down. If you want to order, real quick, Higgins was me. I was the first voter. Higgins. Harper, Harper, Higgins. Sharp, Higgins, Harper, Higgins, Harper, Sharp, Harp. Sharp, Harper, Higgins. So it was all over the board, essentially. It was back and forth. But then if you look at the reader vote, 60% chose Rashard Higgins. Harper's not a bad choice because he leads the league in receptions, but he only has 3 touchdowns. Hunter Sharp is in between Higgins and Harper with 40 and 5. I don't understand, and we don't have an overwhelming amount of Fresno State guys. We have 3. So that's just kind of odd.
And you wouldn't expect the San Diego State guys to vote for the Fresno State guys out of, you know, spite.
If that was the case, but it just seems odd. And Hunter Sharp for Utah, it is what it is, but I'm gonna say our winner's Higgins because overwhelmingly of the reader vote.
Oh yeah.
60%, then 26% for Sharp. And Harper was down there at only... Garrett Brown almost beat out Josh Harper in the reader vote. 6.82 to
6.25. Wow. I'm gonna look at this, too.
What do you have?
So, and you know who you didn't include, who you could have included?
Matt Miller?
You told Jericho me not. Richardson.
He also told me not to include Matt Miller.
No, I told you not to include that. I said Jericho Richardson.
I don't... Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because Jericho Richardson has also played every single game.
Okay. Well, I think it is number...
It's up there in the top 5 with yards. But look at this. So, okay. If you look at the average yards per reception leaders in the Mountain West, number one, actually...
Air Force,
Jalen Robinette, 18 yards... But that's also because Cale Pearson hardly throws the ball, and when he does, they're just deep passes.
That's right.
Rashard Higgins, on the other hand, you have a guy who averages, he's, you know, second behind us, 17.6 yards per reception, 10 touchdowns.
And leads the league in receptions as well.
Yeah. 44 receptions, 10 touchdowns. That's nearly 25%. That's actually, I think that's 22 or 23% of the time. Every single time he catches the ball, 22 or 23% of the time, he scores a touchdown.
Yeah, 1 in 4. 10 touchdowns, 44 receptions.
That's an insane number of touchdowns for one wide receiver. And you say, oh, it's Garrett Grayson just throwing Rashard Higgins, nobody else. Well, yeah, but at the same time, 44 receptions is not, you know, is not... It's significant.
But it's also not Higgins just going deep. Look at Joe Hansley, CSU. He's third at 17.5. Rams like to go deep. They throw the ball.
Right. And 44 out of 131 completions for Garrett Grayson. I mean, that's not even a third. Is that? No, that's about a third of Garrett Grayson's passes. So the other two-thirds are being spread out to different receivers. Yeah, you're going to have a favorite receiver, but it's not like overwhelmingly. It's not like every single time he's throwing the ball, he's always throwing it to Higgins. Or
yeah, they had,
every single.
You lost Kevin Cartwright, but still. So yeah. Let's move on to the next one. Midseason game of the year. I'm up front apologizing for not including Boise State, Nevada. I don't know what I was thinking, but that was not included.
Yeah, you're a horrible person.
Hey, I sent you a list. You didn't remind me to add that, so. A little bit on your end, maybe?
Maybe.
Here's the games. Utah State beats BYU first time in 36 years in Provo. Rams upset Boston College. Air Force beats Boise State by forcing 7 turnovers. Rams come back to beat Colorado in the fourth quarter. Hawaii gets first league win in over a year against Wyoming. UNLV shocks Fresno. Lamar Jordan leads New Mexico past UTSA. That's probably the game I should not have included, but I did. Who did you vote for?
I voted for BYU Utah State.
I voted Air Force Boise State.
And your winner was?
Utah State Boise State. By the authors.
By the random thing that you just created.
What are you talking
about? Oh, wait, no, you did that intentionally.
What do you mean?
What the hell were you thinking? What BYU Utah State.
That's what I said.
No, you said Utah State.
Oh, I apologize.
Look at what you wrote.
I see that. I was counting them back and forth. Sorry. Sorry, Utah State BYU. I got half of it. Sorry. Utah State BYU won the author and the reader vote. Reader vote was pretty close. 33% for that. 30%. Colorado State was 30%. And the Boise versus Air Force was 20%.
Do we have a secret? Do we have a secret contingency in Fort Collins?
If CSU, there's the RamNation.com, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
They like our website a little bit, so that's how that was. And then there was zero vote. There was somebody voted for New Mexico UTSA. Ron, I'm looking at you. Is that you, Ron? Voted
for that? May have been Ron.
That's perfectly fine. Hey, they made it. Last time New Mexico came back from a deficit is like the first time to win in a long time. So.
But that means also three people, so 203 votes, right?
On that one, so at least, yeah, so at least three.
Three people voted.
No, four. 1.1% of 200 is two, so three, yeah, almost three. Yeah. Three people.
Three people voted for the New Mexico UTSA game, too.
There you go, thank you. That could have been one of my votes randomly voting on a separate computer, so that could have been one of mine.
Basically, what you just said is that these results are bogus and that you're voting multiple times.
There's 200 votes. No, maybe I may have voted three times.
Why would you vote three times?
Why not?
You only need to vote once.
I guarantee more people voted more than once. I'm not the only one. Let us know in the comments if you voted more than once. Let's move on here because I hear some just other noise in my other room here. our live studio audience. Best performance. Rashard Higgins versus Colorado State, Tulsa. Four touchdowns, six receptions. There's that 80%, that big ratio we're talking about. Boise State. This game is, I don't know how this, well, geez, I'm going to give it away. Jay Ajayi, 219 rushing yards, four receptions for 61 yards, three total touchdowns against Colorado State. Nick Vigil versus BYU, 57 rushing yards, TD, 11 tackles. Weston Stillhammer, three interceptions, four tackles, two for loss, and a sack, as I'm going quickly here. Then Daryl Garrettson, 19-25 for 321 and three TDs versus BYU. Chris, who did you vote for?
I voted for Weston Stillhammer.
Weston Stillhammer here for me for the win. That's a defensive
actually,
effort.
Actually, no. No, I voted for Nick Vigil.
Oh, the first four votes for authors were all Weston Stillhammer.
That for me was hard. It was either Weston Stillhammer or it was Nick Vigil,
me
and
too.
I think
it was difficult.
And I think I actually finished up with voting for Nick Vigil just because of the fact that as a linebacker, starting running back, okay, 57 yards isn't that good, but the way he was running those yards, it was just smash mouth, not taking anything for an answer.
And cutbacks too. He had a few cutbacks.
Exactly. Plus on the defensive side, whenever you have rack up 11 tackles. And you're playing both positions. I mean, that's fantastic.
And the touchdown. The staff voter was Stillhammer and Nick Vigil for a tie.
Which means to the readers.
Wait, hold on. There was a write-in vote. San Diego State rushing offense versus New Mexico. That's fair. Can't go wrong with that.
That is. That you can't go with 397 yards.
I probably should have added Pumphrey. I thought I did. Donald Pumphrey. I don't know why that was not. I'm sorry, Aztec fans. But I did not put Pumphrey in there for some reason.
You're anti-Aztecs while the rest of, like, the website goes,
yeah,
no, you guys love the Aztecs too much. That's all you guys write about.
The Boise State too much.
You can never satisfy everybody.
Oh, I know. It's fun. It's reasonable. No, but that should have been added on there. I wouldn't have taken anything out. I would have just added it. So the readers went for Rashard Higgins. So how do we decide this? And it was close, 29% for Higgins, 26 for Jay Ajayi, and 20 for Nick Vigil. I'm surprised they didn't vote for Jay Ajayi. That performance is very good.
What about Stillhammer?
No, I know. Stillhammer. Sorry, he finished fourth in the reader ballot.
So then I think we have to give it to Vigil because, yeah, even though the fans voted first.
No, I would...
Yeah, the fans voted first for Rashard Higgins.
Yeah.
And then...
But then
Ziggle came third, Steelhammer came fourth. I think we give it, in terms of the official award, we have to give it to Viggle. Unless we do this like... This is going to be as BCS-y as BCS can get.
Boy, J.A.J.I. wins because he's second.
You're right. No. So the readers might, you know, are we going to go with the reader poll being the official poll? And could we have, like, the writers be the AP poll?
What I kind of split
national championship, 2004, remember?
That's kind of what I said, where I was like, well, we'll take our vote, and then the readers would break any tie, essentially. But this one's interesting because if you look at the amount of votes for Higgins, he got zero votes. He got one vote on our ballot. Just one. That's kind of surprising, isn't it?
That is a little bit surprising.
So if we go that route, it's because you can't. If we had one winner, like in our ballot, because I know this is lovely discussion, but it is. Stillhammer and Viggle for us, if we had one of the two, and then Higgins, we could split the difference or see who came in second. But do we split it three ways?
Sure. I mean, what are these players? Are we all just like sending like tiny little awards to these players?
We can fax up, maybe.
I think that might be cool. So I'm breaking down the votes right now. Fan vote, because there was 197 votes. Rashard Higgins earned 57 votes. Jay Ajayi earned 52 votes, and then Viggle came in third with 40 votes. So that's what the percentages break down to actual numbers.
Yeah.
So and then when you
can I change? I don't know. I still think I picked Stillhammer because three interceptions, that's just tough to get, man.
But here's the thing. So I said Viggle was 40 votes.
Yeah.
I just did the math. Mm-hmm. Steelhammer, he earned 14.21% of the votes. That's only 27 votes. That's a full 13 smaller.
I just need that performance. Who gets three interceptions in a game? Nobody.
Nobody.
And then he gets four tackles, but 75% of those were behind the line of scrimmage. Just two for a loss and a sack.
But how often do you see a dual threat player?
Like Viggle?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Viggle, we're talking about the third or fourth players in the fan ballot, reader ballot.
Yeah, that definitely confuses me as to why Steelhammer is so low, but it might be because our guys just love watching offense.
True, yeah. And that Higgins game is nothing to sneeze at. All these performances were good, and we're not even talking about, like I said, we're not even talking about Jay Ajayi, who got zero votes in our author ballot.
Okay, so here's my thing about why I didn't vote for Higgins in best performance.
Tulsa's bad team?
No, not Tulsa's bad team. So 178 yards, four touchdowns, six receptions. That's absolutely monstrous. That's huge. But that's still, I mean, great. Obviously, Tulsa's a horrible team if you're able to do that. But Higgins only caught the ball six times. I mean, could you imagine what would happen if he caught the ball 10 times?
I think that was all could have been mostly in the first half.
Right, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, well,
caught 10, 11, 12, if he caught 10, 11 balls.
Or even his average of just over seven.
Right? No, but not just – well, when you catch the ball more times, you're going to get more yards.
Yeah.
Let's keep that same ratio. Okay. Even 10 receptions for 200 something odd yards and only and four touchdowns, that's still going to be a monstrous game. And I think if Higgins had the 10 reception mark, I think you would have seen more votes for him on the authors.
Could be. So who do we go with?
Because he did not get a single vote on the author.
Who, Higgins?
Oh, yeah, Higgins.
Yeah, Higgins and Ajayi did not get a vote.
So
we can't include Higgins then. Is it Viggle? Is it go with Viggle because he got...
You have to go with Viggle.
That's why I'm kind of half-jokingly J.A.J.I. because he's second in the reader vote. In the reader ballot. I guess it's Viggle, right? Is that because he's third and first?
Yeah.
Sure. Nick Viggle, get it. Tough decision. I don't know how... That's a... People are weird. We vote weird. The readers voted weird.
Actually, the readers voted fairly spot on with the authors. Well, I mean, there were only two ties that had to be broken.
No, I mean the last one. I'm saying.
Oh yeah, the last one was just kind of all over the place.
Yeah, but it.
You know what we forgot to do?
What?
Uniform of the year.
We're gonna wait till the end. Remember?
Are we? Okay.
Yeah, we'll wait till the end. So since we got that wrapped up, excellent. A lot of good football. A lot more to play. Let's do a quick thing, kind of for the end of the season. We said we'd do it last time. Do you want us to go through a quick bowl or no bowl?
Yes.
Before we do that, do you want? Let's do this. Who do you title? Let's do title game. Who do you think is going to be the title game?
Let me bring up the standings.
Well, it should be difficult to figure out.
No, I know it, but I want to bring up the standings just so I can do bowl, no bowl as well.
Oh, good call.
I'm going to say Boise State. No, I'm not. Ooh. Boise State. Preseason, I went Boise State, Fresno State.
I went San Diego State, Boise. No, I went. Oh, crap.
You went Fresno. No, you went Fresno State, Utah. Or
no,
San Diego State?
I changed. I went San Diego State, Utah State. Because I was going Fresno. I remember during our preview show, I'm like, no, they lost so much offense, I'm switching. So I was San Diego State, Utah State, and
Boise State, Hawaii. I mean, no.
Fresno still has a chance.
Frustrating.
Fresno and San Jose State, everybody has a chance because Hawaii's not going defeated. Fresno's going.
Even UNLV has a chance.
No, they don't have a chance.
Do have a chance.
Mathematically?
Mathematically, yes. They do have a chance.
Realistically? No.
No.
In the Mountain Division, I'm still going with Utah State.
I'm still going with Boise State in the Mountain.
The reason I'm not going Colorado State because, well, no. It's so hard to tell because Utah State plays Colorado State. I think Utah State's going to win on Saturday. I think we already decided I said Utah State in a close one. They're going to beat the Rams, and then they'll beat Boise State. They'll finish undefeated in the Mountain West play. I'm going that far. Utah State will be 11-2 host in the title game and hosting.
I'm going to say Boise State goes 10-2. They're going to win the Mountain.
That's fair. And the Rams, it's just a tough break. They lost to Boise State, and they got to help Boise lose to Utah State.
Can I go for bold? Can I go for bold pick?
Bold?
Bold.
What's your bold pick in the West?
I think bold pick in the West. I think I'm going to go with true dark horse.
Spartans,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Who do they got the rest of the way? They're sitting at 1-2, 1-1. Excuse me.
They're sitting 1-1. They're sitting at 2-3. They got Wyoming this weekend. They got Navy.
That is a count.
They got Colorado State at home, which doesn't really make much of a difference. They got at Fresno State.
Winnable. It's 2-1.
Home versus Hawaii.
Yes, 3.
At Utah State.
No, they're not. No, Utah State at San Diego State. No, they're. You can't. Sorry, I'm not just sorry not to just crap on your opinion, but.
No, and at San Diego State.
That's tough. That is bold. You said bold, so I got to give you credit.
I said bold, but look, they could switch. Theoretically, remember, a loss to Utah State doesn't kill them because that's in the Mountain Division.
Well, it goes overall. It's overall record first.
Well, overall record.
Overall conference.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, you really expect, you know, San Diego State, who's sitting at 2-1 right now. I mean, San Diego State could theoretically. Especially if Kaler or Bowden aren't doing anything, they've got Hawaii at home. Okay, they should win. They got at Nevada, which could be sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
They're at Boise State. They're at home versus Air Force, not at home versus San Jose State. Why, you know, that seems like an easy pick, but at the same time.
No, it doesn't. Not for the Aztecs, because.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then why are you criticizing me with my San Jose State?
Those road games. At Fresno, at Utah State, at San Diego State. And plus,
right, and last year we said San Jose State was going to be horrible, and look who they do against the rivals. They beat Fresno State and San Diego State.
Here's
only team to do that against both.
Well, then San Diego State beat Boise 2 years in a row as well. Sorry to bring that back.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Why not San Jose State?
The West is
a tire fire.
Exactly. I was about to say West winner could be 5-3 in league play.
And I'll go with that. I'm gonna go ahead. I'm changing midseason. I'm going San Jose State, and I'm gonna look like an idiot.
Hey, one of these stupid upset picks has to pay off one of these days, right?
Right. Exactly.
Has to. That's logic, right? Has to. I'm going Utah State. Well, the running game is what concerns me for the Aggies. It's going to come. I think Utah State, as much as I like the Rams, I'm probably completely wrong on this, but I'm calling for Utah State to, like I already said, to beat the Rams on the road, which I really like the Rams. I do want them to do well. It's going to be, for me, it's either going to be CSU or Utah State, because for some reason, I think Utah State can beat Boise State no matter what, which is probably dumb to say no matter what, but I just think the way their Garrettson will take advantage of that secondary when they play the last week of the season. And I'm going to go Utah State. Should I just stick with what I had, Utah State, San Diego State, and say ride it the whole way?
Yeah, why not?
I'm looking at the schedules here because Aztec schedule, like you said, they could lose at Nevada, they could lose at Boise, they can lose Air Force, and maybe San Jose State, depending on the health-wise.
Theoretically, they could lose to Hawaii this Saturday.
I don't think so.
No, obviously not. But theoretically.
Well, because they play in the field, so yes, it's a 50-50 chance. Technically speaking.
Was that my stupid upset pick this week? I think that was
It was your stupid upset pick.
Yeah.
I'm not going... I don't think the...
So, and if that happens...
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
You are brilliant.
No,
and here's the thing, too. Nevada still is in the running, even though they're 1-2. They'll beat Hawaii. They can beat San Diego State. They can beat Air Force. They can win the rest of their games. I wouldn't be so shocked if Nevada's 9-3. I know everybody's going to love the background. We don't have a cat purring, but I have my dog barking in the backyard. And apparently a tickle party with my kids in the other room.
That's kind of a tough stretch, though, for Nevada, San Diego State, Air Force, Fresno State.
It is. I'm going to go. The West is just a mess. It's so hard. You could throw a dart. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to eliminate.
How do you think I picked San Jose State?
I know. I'm going to eliminate Hawaii, eliminate UNLV. I'll go with what I said. San Diego State, Utah State, ride the rest of the way.
Probably the most realistic pick.
So, come on. And then bowl or no bowl? Utah State, bowling, right?
Bowl.
Boise State, yes.
Yeah.
Colorado State, yes.
Yeah.
Then it gets interesting. Air Force bowl, I'm assuming?
Yes, they should be bowl.
Wyoming, I'm going to say no.
That's questionable.
So let's go with no then. It's questionable.
Yeah.
And if we're at 14, we can have probably 6 is where we're probably going to end up at the most.
And Nevada, then, San Diego State?
We said Nevada, maybe. I will go San Diego State, Nevada. And Fresno will just... I will say what you said earlier. There will be 7 bowl-eligible teams, but somebody will get left out. And if San Jose State gets to 6 wins, they're not going to be left out 2 years in a row. So it could be Fresno or Nevada being left out if they're 6-6. One of those two.
And Fresno State, out of those two, looks like they should be left out.
Actually, I'm going to go there's going to be 8 bowl-eligible teams.
Ooh.
Utah State, Boise State, Colorado State, Air Force 4, Fresno, San Diego State, San Jose State, Nevada.
So you're predicting the whole West to go 6-6 all the way down.
Pretty much, yeah. Yes, they'll both beat Hawaii and San Jose and UNLV. And there you go. I'm going to go that route. 8 eligible teams that are going to miss. It depends. San Jose State, they're not. I doubt they'll keep them out 2 years in a row. We'll see. That's what I'm going with. And league champion, we should mention that too. I'm still sticking with Utah State.
I'm still going with Boise State.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. That wraps up our mid-season show, folks. We promised a decent show. 47 minutes isn't too bad. So thanks for everyone who voted. Awesome turnout on the votership. Hope you liked us going through the votes poll by poll. Hope you liked
One final. So should we really get a tiny little paper award that we can send to all these people?
End of season? We'll mock something up and fax it. Why not?
Yeah, don't we? But we're allowed to do that, right?
Why not?
Okay, cool.
What will they do? They'll tear it up? Like, oh, cool, whatever. We will...
Fax them a Grandpa Norm t-shirt?
We're going to have t-shirts. Oh, we may... We should send a Quinterback t-shirt to the school.
Oh, the trolling would be spectacular.
Yeah. We will definitely do that. So we'll figure out. But this wraps it up. Jeremy Moss here. Chris Hondris in Vegas. Check us out, MWCConnection.com. Have fun this weekend watching games. And, hey, here's a great second half of the season, everybody.